Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm not going to name names, but there is someone within our group that if somebody has a killer line and is murdering and getting a lot of attention, they can't help but pile on and actually have the last word and hopefully have a better line. That even at the sacrifice of the show.
Seth. I would, whoever this is you're discussing, I would advise this person seek help because that's not healthy.
That was funny. Number five.
I had a conversation just yesterday. As a younger man,
yes,
I was not as an effective leader as I thought I was because I grew up in a toxic world of broadcasting where that was rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was rewarded for me, and it shaped the way I behave, and I'm not proud of that.
You learn and evolve.
I try, but pony. Anyway,
but Mike, in every day and every way,
you just did it.
You're getting better and better.
I just did it right there. Even in the discussion of it, I did it.
Yeah, but the thing is that did that sexually satisfy you?
Yeah, how you feeling below the trousers?
It did me.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are really, really excited to have this gentleman on the show. Pete Holmes has a book that hits today. It is called A Comedy Sex God. Well, I read the book, so I might want to say Comedy Sex God. Well, we'll ask him about it in a second. It's available wherever you buy books. Pete's a comedian, writer, and cartoonist, and a Christ-leaning spiritual seeker. Man, does he seek in this book. This book is just chock-a-block with seeking. He hosts the popular podcast You Made It Weird. He created and starred in the HBO show Crashing, which had Rob Spiewak on it. That's why it was canceled. And he co-executive produced with Judd Apatow. He's been on television for a long time with specials on HBO, and he lives with his wife and daughter in Los Angeles. And we are thrilled to finally get Pete on the show. Pete, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, nice to be here, and nice to kind of be with Rob again.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, Pete, this is Mike, and let me just say right out of the chute, I am so sorry that Rob did that to your show.
You know, I had a feeling. Yeah. Can we call it the curse of Rob now? Any show that he's on, it's the last season.
Yeah, thank God I'm just doing a podcast because, my God, if it was anything more significant like your career, but I don't like to use cliches like you can't put it down. But I will tell you that there was a day when I was reading this book when I had show prep to do because I was coming in to do this show and I was reading it in the morning and I literally could not put your book down.
Oh, well.
I'm not even sure I know how to talk about it because this is stuff that I do not spend my time thinking deeply. But your book is, now tell me if I'm giving people the title the correct way. The book is not Comedy Sex God. It is Comedy Sex God. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. I do get that a lot, and we knew I would get that a lot. We knew that the title was a little bit misleading in sort of a funny way. So my editor and I, Luke, we liked that people would be unsure if I was calling myself a comedy sex god or if those are the three topics. But since you've read it, Mike, you know most of the sex in the book is with myself. So I am not a sex god. It is not the case at all. And I'm certainly not a comedy god either. Those are just, I have a podcast as well. And those were always the three topics that I just naturally gravitated to. I love talking about comedy. I love talking about sex or God or love, like relationships. And I love talking about God or the mystery of existence or the meaning of life. So those, it became a funny title.
And there's only one part of the book that I don't want to do a Game of Thrones spoiler alert here, but there's a, because when you talk about most of the sex was with yourself, there's one part where you talk an awful lot about that, but I just didn't know. I don't think you did. No, you just talked about it and it was an awakening and you were out there with Ram Dass. I'm into this book. I mean, I might be going on my I might be going on my own journey on this book, but you know, you talk about you know, masturbation as a teaching moment. It's just let me tell you, there is stuff in this book that if it can get a person like me, a failed Catholic, somebody who got back into a Lutheran Episcopalian hybrid church, and then the pastor ended up behaving very badly with one of the married parishioners, so they kicked him out, and then they wouldn't tell the parish what was going on. And I'm done. This is me. This is me. What about a year ago, guys?
Yeah, right, that's not right. Yes,
we're about a year ago.
Your Sundays were open.
I'm done. Sundays open now. Screw it. Not going back. Not doing. But always in my heart, feeling that kind of that need and searching. And I don't want to get so heavy, Pete, to say that things happen for a reason. Rob was on your show. We wanted to book you for a long time. And then this book, I think the short version is, I had no idea that I would be reading the book I was reading. And it was absolutely fascinating. It's so much of your spiritual journey, which is such a massive part of your life. You really do open up in this book about your entire life. And you're a seeker, my friend. You truly are.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wish that wasn't so rare. I think it's just so embarrassing. Obviously, religion and religious people are so embarrassing that it's hard to kind of admit that you have a leaning. That's why I like to say Christ leading. You know, it's a way of not turning people off by saying that I love Christ or I love Buddha or any of that stuff. But I mean, there you are saying you're exactly, Mike, who the book is for. My mom joked that she was going to give the book to my pastor. And I was like, it's not, you know, you can go ahead and, you know, knock yourself out, but it's not for him. I wrote the book for people like you and for people like me. There's tens of thousands of them that I swear I've met, maybe not in person, but online, and a lot of them in person, that lost their faith. And for reasons like you mentioned, you know, my pastor, my church had an affair with the person he was counseling and everything fell apart. And obviously in all sorts of traditions, there's even worse things that happen that make people leave their church. And in my case, it was a divorce. Like I felt like I had been such a good boy, capital G, capital B, and I didn't smoke or drink or swear, and I believed the right things, and I didn't have sex until I was basically married. You know, I kind of go into that in the book, but I even did that right. And then my wife had an affair, and I sort of looked at God like the mafia, like I was paying my protection money, and he was supposed to stop the hoodlums from throwing a brick through my bakery window, you know, and he didn't. They still broke my window.
When you sat down, when the idea of the book, was it always in your mind that you were going to write a book that was not so much your standard comedy fare, but a book about, you know, your journey? Is that was that in your mind for a long time before you took pen to paper?
I think that's why a book. You know, like you, I have a podcast, so I have a way of talking with people, which is really nice. And I'm a stand-up, so I have a way of, you know, talking to people in that way as well. But really, I'm not exaggerating, the most interesting thing to me is the mystery of existence and what babies can be saved from bathwaters and all the various traditions and what they're all sort of pointing to. I mean, I just woke up, I'm on a different time zone, and I just woke up with that sort of like, this again? Like, what is going on? Like, I wake up that way most mornings. Like, I'm just like, I don't accept this as just like a natural foregone conclusion. It seems like such a strange predicament that we're all sort of like stuck in these bodies, and we're all acting like it's so normal that we're on a rock in infinity and we're talking to each other and eating churros. It's like so off-putting to me that it's all I really want to talk about. So, you know, I talk about in the book that I experimented with psychedelics and I dived into more than one spiritual tradition, and that was because I just can't shake the feeling that something very strange is going on, or something maybe very mysterious is going on. So with a book, I sort of felt like I had permission to get into that directly. I was like, look, if you buy a book called Comedy, Sex, God, you're probably okay with me talking about comedy, sex, and God. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's giving me permission to talk to them about what I've learned. And as we've already discussed, that can be tricky.
That actually answers the question I was going to ask you, because I get the distinct feeling that you're using the book also to, you know, you're doing, you're not trying to, you're not trying to put your system on everybody else. In fact, quite the opposite, but you are using it to enlighten and to teach a little bit. And I came away with a feeling that I've got to dive into it one more time. I should probably read it again, but I was fascinated with the some of the paths you took, and specifically with, I guess, your spiritual guy, this gentleman, Ram Dass, that you went to see in Hawaii. I just felt a real warmth during that entire section of the book when you go out to Hawaii and you get a personal retreat with him, and just this wonderful guy that exudes love, and I was moved by it. I was affected by the book. It got me thinking, and you know, they're not enough. You're right, not enough people that are seeking, that are out there trying to find something, and who knows what the answer is. And that's kind of where you are with all this, but you don't give up the search. If I'm rambling incoherently for our listeners, I will tell you it's because a lot of this stuff is hard for me, Pete. It's a little difficult for me to wrap my head around all of it, but it does start me thinking. And it's almost like as I'm reading this book that you wrote, I said, when I interview you, I want Pete to know that I've done a good job because I kind of felt that way. So I don't know. I got to go back and look at some of the stuff again.
I hear that. And, you know, I'm compelled, Mike, to tell you to read The Universal Christ by Richard Rohr, which is in the further reading section of my book. I recommend that. I just interviewed Richard Rohr for my podcast about that book, and I swear I had the exact same experience. I just wanted to demonstrate to him that I understood the book, and I just wanted to tell him how much it meant to me. So I'm flattered if it's anything like that. We kind of alluded to a couple things. One is that the definition for God is one that I think a lot of people will enjoy, which I got from Joseph Campbell, which is that God is a metaphor for a mystery that absolutely transcends all categories of human thought, including being and non-being, which is just another way of saying we need to talk about something. I make a joke in the book that it's like dogs trying to understand the internet, you know, and dogs can only really get so close to understanding the internet. But unfortunately, unlike dogs and the internet, we're born with an itch. Like we really, 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 we're sort of, I don't want to say cursed, but maybe blessed with self-consciousness. We know we're here. We know we die. We know what's going on. We have this very active frontal lobe. So we want to know what's going on. And what I sort of explore in the Joseph Campbell part of the book is that like metaphors and mythology and stories are the closest we can get to talking about the ineffable, which is really just a fancy word for things you can't talk about. And that's why it was so important for me to have experiences that were ineffable, whether they were experiences in love or experiences with psychedelics, things that I couldn't nail down easily made me think that maybe that's what religion was trying to do. They were trying to talk about things that you really can't talk about. And the best we can do is with metaphors. So that was that. And I also don't mind talking about the reason it's called Comedy Sex God is because for so many of us, I mean, look at what happened at your church and look at what happened at my church and look at what happened in my youth. It's like God and sex are so intertwined. And I write in the book that like when I was a kid, I wasn't tempted to lie or steal or cheat or hurt people. But of course, I was very sexual. Like you have a new batch of hormones bubbling up from within every single morning. It never goes away. So of course, when you raise people to believe in God, and especially if you believe in a judgmental and hell-kicking people into God, you're going to worry that your sexuality is your big problem. It's the number one thing putting you at risk to going to hell. So I had to talk about that. I had to write about what it was like finding a love that is as indiscriminate as the light, that loves loves that part of you as well. And I had to learn to love that part of myself as well, which is why there's so many shameful masturbation stories in the book. later, it's by design.
You grew up in a very religious house because of your mom. And, you know, you were brought up in that where the kind of evangelical experience where there's a lot of repression. The Catholic Church that I was brought up in has a lot of that as well. And it kind of, you know, I have stories within my own family where the religious beliefs made people inevitably less happy based on you can't marry somebody who's been divorced. My aunt, God rest her soul, was in love with a man in New York, couldn't marry him because he'd been divorced because she was so doggone Catholic. And I think the thing that resonated with me when you talked about your spiritual path was looking at our days and what's happening in our lives as episodes. Because there's a big chunk of this book where you say all the problems we have in life, all the stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, the good, the bad, if you look at it like episodes, that was a fascinating way of looking at life. As far as people who are stressed out and going through, if you look at like your life and what happens to you as episodes of a show, I thought that was brilliant in the book. And that's the one that got me where I said, man, if I could do that, I wouldn't yell at the guys I work with so much.
I mean, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. maybe you would yell at the people that you work with, but you wouldn't be so, to use Buddhist language, you wouldn't be so attached to it. Or you wouldn't be so lost in identification with it. Because I don't want to, I'm not selling morality, which is obviously sort of how most religion is interpreted. And I'm all for it. I think we should be kind to one another. Right. But there's something about, like, when I lose my temper with my wife, for example, I don't mean at her. I just mean when we're together and I lose my temper, I sort of do what I'm talking about. And I just say to her, like, I'm very angry. I'm going to be angry for fun now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a detachment to going, like, my body wants to be angry. I'm going to rant about this, but please don't think I'm in the boat and it's just, you know, getting further and further from shore. I'm still here with you, but I'm going to get angry just because it's what the animal wants. It's what my body wants. I'm going to do it, but it's just for fun. And that's what the idea of good episode is often when we look back on things that happened to us, we resist them in the moment. And then later we look back and realize that if it was a TV show, that was a really great episode of the Mike Show or the Pete Show or whichever one we're watching. That's like a very sort of Western and simple way of looking at a very ancient and Far Eastern idea. And also it's in Christianity as well, which is the idea that you're not your small self. You're not your false self, which is what Carl Jung would say. Or Freud would say, you're not your psychology, and you're not your nationality, and you're not your race, and you're not your gender, and you're not your favorite food and your favorite movie. This is all stuff that's all a story that your mind is telling you. Who you really are is the awareness that's observing that stuff. Science calls this consciousness. Just, it's what your body formed around, you know, and it's what you sort of, it's your basic operating system. And, you know, Christians call that the soul. Hindus call that the Atman. It's basically just your basic isness. And when we're in that place, why have that like fancy thought? It's like fun to go like, oh, maybe we're souls. For me, that's where peace is and that's where joy is. You know, Ram Dass taught me that joy and peace don't exist in the ego. They can't. Our egos are constantly shifting and they're just stories made of, you know, I was just on vacation and I was eating ice cream on the beach and you're like, oh, this is nice. Like your brain sort of lights up like this is nice, but it's fleeting. It goes away. The ice cream melts or you eat it or it's gone. And then you want some water and then you want to swim and then you're salty and you want to nap. It's constant, never ending bullshit, you know, but like, what is the part of you that's just observing that stuff? That's just sort of, and you can get in touch with it. You know, I say in the book, I say, sing happy birthday in your head and then ask yourself, who is hearing that? Who's hearing you sing that? And then try to identify with that.
This is heavy stuff right here. The book is Comedy Sex God. We're talking to Larry the Cable Guy.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm sorry. I had to make a joke like that. Oscar, I know you wanted to get a question or two in with Pete Holmes. It is a great book. You can tell Pete is a thinker, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks more about this stuff than you or I, and I'm fascinated by it. I wish I did it more. I might do it more.
Please
after
do.
Both reading the book and talking.
You stop yelling.
Go ahead, Oscar. I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Pete, it's an honor to connect with you, and thank you for tolerating Rob Spiewak, our colleague, for years now on your set. If you were going to pick any hack DJ in the country, he is the guy to bring on set and play
great
that
casting.
Role. He killed. He killed.
It was.
Perfect.
He did.
Perfect.
What I wanted to ask you was, really, if you talk about life in episodes, my upbringing is Latin, so it'd be in a novella. So we're going novella. I know my mom finds joy in buying yet another, probably her 50th of the year, Virgen de Guadalupe candle. How can I explain to my mom that we don't need a candle in every room, and just because you light them doesn't mean everything's going to come true?
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. I sort of talk about this in the book, is that there's a temptation when our, I want to use fewer fancy words, but when we evolve, let's call it evolving, and we become a little bit more spacious, let's say that. So our minds and our hearts are a little bit more open, right? It's very, very tempting, and I'm guilty of this with my own mother. I've sent her so many books. When I buy something on Amazon, it's like the first address. They think I'm sending it to my mom, and I'm like, no, this one's going to be for me. So there's a real temptation, right? We want to bring people along with us, and we want to sort of, I don't know, for me personally, I want to look down on how other people believe. You know, there are people listening that probably believe, I know there are, of course there are,
yeah,
that believe differently from me. And the beautiful thing about my worldview now, as opposed to my worldview before, was that I had to convert, and I had to, almost like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say you can't force someone to become sober. In the same way, you can't force anyone's heart to open in this way or that way. And when I look at when my heart opened, nobody forced me to do it either. It was a divorce. It was psychedelic drugs. It was loss. It was this. It was despair. It was all these things that had to happen to me in order to get, you know, in order to arrive where I've arrived. But then, of course, when we get someplace that has more joy and more peace and more freedom, and if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe less superstition, right?
Yes.
Which really is just the brother of fear. You know, so you want your mother to have less fear.
Yes.
And you want her to be able to say yes to what is. Richard Rohr says the first forgiveness is to the universe itself, you know, for being how it is. So when we're superstitious and we're afraid, we're really resisting what is. And when we're resisting what is, we're not living like Christ. Christ walked around saying, look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at the trees. He kept pointing us to nature and how unanxious nature is. So I hear your love for your mother in that question. But at the same time, to quote Ram Dass, when you leave third grade and you go to fourth grade, you can't look back on the people in third grade and be like, look at those idiots. You were those idiots. You were those people in third grade. So
very true.
It's important to have compassion and realize that it's all relative. It's not going anywhere. Your mother is lawfully living out the life that she's supposed to as a part of this whole big one thing. Even though it doesn't make sense, you just sort of have to...
Oh, I embrace
what
it.
We all have to do with our family.
That's a Christmas has a lot of candles.
Well, Pete, I got to tell you, I have to jump in here because, you know, here is the man himself, the man who made us more aware. We are all aware of your show crashing and your stand up. But Rob was so thrilled to have the opportunity to work with you. And I remember you saying great things about working with Pete and how great he was to work with.
Gracious.
And now this is like a reunion for you, Rob Spiewak. Talk to your pal.
It's so cool. I really do. I have to say in front of everyone who's listening, you made that day on the set so fun. I mean, literally fun. I went in scared out of my wits because I didn't know what to expect.
And then you effed it all up for him, Rob.
And then I got the show canceled. And so for that, we're sorry. But I also want to, so I do have to say a most sincere thank you for making that day just spectacular. Really had a great time.
Oh, you were great. You were so great. That was a really fun day on that campus. You and what was the young lady's name? Forgive me.
Sarah Fraser played Cindy.
That's right. That's right. You guys were both great. As somebody who's done, you know, a lot of radio like that, I thought you did a really good job kind of doing the Mountain Dew drinking, not listening DJ. And it was great. I thought it came out really, really well.
And I also, I want to say, I echo what Mike says about your book being so insightful and as a seeker. I take a lot of comfort knowing that you just had a baby. How old is your daughter? Is she 6 months now?
That's just about right. She's 7 months, yep.
And it's when you have this sort of journey, this faith-seeking journey that you're on, and you have the courage and the faith to bring a child into the world, that makes me feel good because you're obviously a much smarter man than I. And so if you're bringing a child into the world, I think we're going to be okay.
Is that a question, Rob, or what? I'm just curious about
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. Yeah, and I also wanted to know, yes, has having a child changed your view or your journey?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The last couple chapters of the book are about Leela. That's her name. And Leela means the dance. So when we're talking about the other guy's mother, what was it, Mario?
Oscar. But he'll answer Mario.
I'll take Mario. You're
it's
a celebrity.
Carlos.
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 Hector.
Now. Fernando.
So
Hector.
Sorry. I'll call you Mario now. It's not even close to Oscar. There's just an O in it, I guess.
Hector's that's
all right. The O works.
Yeah, Hector.
It's early. It's early in L.A. It's all right.
I love it.
It is early. her name means the dance or the play of the universe, basically. So what we're doing is what we're doing. And this is all there is, really. My friend Michael Gunger wrote an incredible book called This. It's just called This, which really changed my life. And it's about unity of consciousness. It's basically the idea that physics is pointing us to, not pointing us to, concluding, Einstein, that we were basically all one thing. And as this one thing loses itself in the illusion of separateness, it's all sort of lawful. Everything that's happening is interconnected. When you get in the water in the ocean, you feel like you're surrounded by something, but you're no less surrounded right now. You know, you're surrounded by molecules that aren't wet, but you're just as in the thick of it as you are in the ocean all the time. You can't escape it. You're basically in one big jello mold. That's what Leela means. It's like, it's just one thing singing itself. It's dancing and it's playing. And that's why when we were talking about Mario's mother, it's all in the game. And that's sort of a big point in my book, is that like loss and divorce and certainly doubt and shame, it's all in it. It's all in it for it to experience itself, if that makes sense. And it's not an error in the system. It's all sort of the play to help us, Mike used the term enlighten, in order to lighten up, you know, in order to wake up, in order to live more freely, more peacefully, less attached lives. But whatever's happening, you're talking about having a kid at this world at this time, I totally understand that. And yet here it's all still going. It's all still happening. The dance sort of continues.
Beautiful.
I want to tell you, Pete, and I know I speak for Rob and Mario when I tell you that I think that this is truly an interesting book to read. It's got so much wonderful humor in it. And you've changed me a little bit, and I'm going to continue to try to seek out some stuff with this because it is fascinating. When I read a book like this, I wonder how the process happened. And it was Rob doing your show, and then we wanted to get you on the show, and then reading this where I really couldn't put it down. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this. And don't think because we're dealing with these deep thoughts, all you people that are going to accuse me of not being light enough on my podcast, you're going to get something out of this. It is a comedy sex god, and you know, there are no commas in this title, but I will tell you, this is a great read. And Pete, I wish you nothing but the best. I'd love to, you know, when you come through Washington, stop by and visit us. If you're doing a tour, we'd love to chat again, when we have more time to do it. And good luck with everything. And as far as last question, real quick, and this is the standard one, but I'm genuinely curious about it. After Crashing, anything else television in the works besides the stand-up that I know you're still doing? What any projects? I know you're constantly thinking and creating. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's funny. So I recommended Richard Rohr to you. Richard Rohr is this amazing Franciscan who, when I recommend him to people, I also have to be like, don't worry, it's not boring, it's not terrible, it's not closed-minded or judgmental, just like what you had to do whenever we talk about this stuff. But anyway, Richard talks about, like, he has this beautiful thing about, like, knowing needs to be balanced with unknowing. Basically, all our certainty needs to be balanced with mystery. And I would add to that, doing needs to be balanced with undoing.
Yep. So, amen.
I was so busy for 4 years, and I always take it as love that people want to know what I'm doing next. And there's definitely ideas kicking around, and I'm working on writing a couple things and doing more stand-up. And, of course, doing my own podcast. But then, like, I'm trying to balance it out. I had 4 years. I mean, Rob, you saw what it was like. That was me every day. It was 14 hours a day.
It was, yeah.
For months and months. And then the rest of the year was writing and editing and doing the press. And that was a privilege. I was so happy to be able to do it. And now I'm so happy to get up, I write for a couple hours, and then I'm hanging with the family and trying to rest a little bit. Because I think we need to remember that our best ideas come from, it's a quiet voice. It's not a loud voice. It's a quiet voice. So we have to be quiet enough to hear it. And that,
I love that.
Means some ice cream on the beach. Thanks.
I love it. You know what? And you write beautifully. Keep doing it.
Yes.
I think I found this book really special. It's Comedy Sex God. Pete Holmes, thank you so, so very much. And please, I'd love to have you on the show again anytime you want to come and join us and just chat about
It'd
the bigger
pleasure.
Things in life. It would be so much fun. Good luck, Pete, and thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'd love to. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. That's Pete Holmes. Pretty good talking to him, huh, Robbie? How are you?
Fascinating.
I mean,
no, look.
Did you have a good time, Hector?
This is apropos. I asked the stick question, and he quickly forgot my name. And he said,
it's heavy.
This guy
articulate it. He is a deep thinker.
But it's very palatable.
Cares about it's very easy to understand. It is.
It is.
He has comedy in it, but I'm telling you, if you are somebody like me, spiritually, who is in a bit of a void, my whole family is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you see something like this and you go, I haven't been energetic enough to explore Eastern religions and philosophies and looking at life, but I've always been curious about it. And
yes.
this is a kind of a door that opens for it. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. And it's extremely funny.
May I add this? Oscar wanted to ask a question of him, but Mario is here, you know, monopolizing all the time.
Yeah. Mario always interrupts.
He's a blabbermouth.
Right.
Oscar was truly shocked by the way that a man who has reached success in such a really volatile business, whether it be comedy or, you know, feature films or producing television shows.
Yep.
It's shocking that someone that is so grounded can be so successful in a world that we perceive as, you know, show business. That is, it's cutthroat.
Yeah. You don't see it a lot.
Yeah.
So he's
clearly
doing something right.
Well, when you read the book, and I give your brother the copy of that book because he doesn't have it.
Mario will read it.
Give it to Mario because I think I come out of that saying peaceful and you want to be a better person. Yeah. I didn't want to put that kind of pressure on Pete talking to him, but
it's
really, really interesting stuff. And you know, you had said that he was a cool guy on the set. That
extraordinarily. I mean, the way I described it, he was very giving. He did not have any sort of hunger for the attention, mm-hmm. and he was very eager
nurturing.
To spread it around and nurture what was going
that's
on in
great.
The scene.
Damn.
And the fact that he brought that in the interview today, it just shows that that's really him, I think. I really do.
And if you need this cell for it, a lot of masturbation.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. We want to thank Pete, and this is the Mike O'Mara Show. Hit the thingy that you hit, Rob.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Z88.7, the Rock of Charleston. It's your old buddy Lester reminding you that the best defense is a good offensive. So, if you struggle with foot odor like I used to.
Oh boy, don't I know it.
Yeah, attack it with Dr. Scholl's Odorex Odor Fighting Foot Powder. It's great. Ask for it by name. All right. Do it. Now, I'm very excited to have this guy in studio with us. First time he's joined us. He's a comedian, but he's a Christian comedian.
Oh.
Yeah, can you think about that? Like, that's like a Christian stripper.
Well,
you know. Let's welcome Pete Holmes.
Thank you.
You got to help me out. I can't wrap my head around Christian comedian. What's going on with that?
Oh, you know, I'm here for the Good Faith Variety Tour.
Mm-hmm.
We have ventriloquists. We have musicians. It's a great, great show.
Cool.
We have a game we like to play where we figure out your porno name.
Ooh, yeah. He's going to be really good at this, Lester.
I don't know if I want to do
it. It's really easy. The ground rules are as follows. All we need is the name of the street you grew up on and the nickname you have for your junk. And you put that together, that's your porno name.
I don't know.
This is good.
You're going to like this. I'm Oak Thunder Nuggins.
Yeah, and I'm Pleasant Clambake.
I mean, I don't really... Bloomfield Testes. Can I say testes on the radio?
You did. It's great. Tell us more about your show.
Do you pray?
Yeah, I pray.
But what about, like, during the show?
Nobody prays during the show. No, there's no prayer in the show. It's just a show. It's a regular show. But, you know, I pray before the show.
Did you pray before this show?
I did.
Yeah. How's that working?
Yeah.
I hope it's going okay.
Reach out, touch faith. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
That's the scene that did it.
Ruined the whole
That's
thing.
That's the scene that did it. That's the scene that brought crashing down. That's Rob Spiewak as DJ Lester.
Thank God he has the book to fall back on.
Yeah, Pete Holmes' book, Crashing. We thank Pete for joining us on a very busy day. And the book goes wide today. Everybody, movies go wide. Books just go on sale. So the book is really, really wonderful, and I hope everybody buys it. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. From Ras Al Khaimah, United Arab Emirates, to Longwood, California. My voice is a little froggy today. From Salt Lake City, Utah, to Horsehead, New York, from Rapid City, South Dakota to Shibuya, Sheboygan, Japan. No.
That's right.
Shibuya. Shibuya. Or Shibuya. Would it be Shibuya?
Shibuya!
Shogun.
Shibuya, Tokyo, Japan. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
Yes.
Hiring is challenging, but there is one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. The place ZipRecruiter is waiting for you. It's ZipRecruiter.com. You're going to love it. If you are in need of new employees, let me tell you something. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Big day in the studio. Oscar and I are going to do technical work together from afar.
This is fantastic. This is exciting. This is a big deal.
Yeah, we're blowing things up in here, and we're going to put them back together. So the show will not be on the air tomorrow.
Technically, no, we're leaving what you have in place. We're just going to set up your gear for Maine, technically.
I thought we were going to set it up for down here.
Well, you're leaving in a week, so we wouldn't destroy something.
No, I'm leaving
in a week.
I'm leaving. What is with your generation, with you and Carla, that Carla says, we're leaving in 10 days? I said, It's May 13th.
Today's the 14th, yeah.
Well, yesterday when we had the discussion was the 13th.
Mm.
Hi, how are you? We haven't problems with connectivity.
No, you look great.
You're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I said, we're leaving. She said, we're leaving in 10 days. I said, no, we're not. We're leaving June 1st. She said, no, we're leaving in 10 days. I said, what
June 1st is not even close.
I know. And it's just like when Oscar says, I'm leaving in a week.
Do they not have a calendar?
What's with these kids?
Get a calendar.
What's with these kids?
It's a thing on the wall with numbers and boxes and maybe a picture of a cat.
Are you really leaving June 1st?
And by the way, if I'm going to do it up in Maine, I'll wait till I get up to Maine.
That's probably appropriate. Yes, that's probably appropriate considering the time you're about to leave. Yes, that would make sense.
Because you're leaving in four days, Mike.
I take all that back.
I just thought we were just going to dock and then show you a few tips and quirks.
Well, I got
features.
It out of the box.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it.
Well, that's the first step.
I thought we were going to set my studio up.
It would not make sense for us to do that with such a short amount of time. We should do it in Maine as a big. I thought we were just going to show you how to use the actual equipment. Before you got to
sort of like a little baby test run.
Yes.
I took it out of the box. It's pretty easy. I could probably figure it out myself.
Is that how you've been thinking too?
No, it's that easy.
Have you been thinking outside of the box?
I looked at it this morning.
Yeah.
I looked at it this morning.
I've
been here the whole time. But it looks easy.
That's the beauty of it. It will be with us.
Can you hold it up? I'd like to see it.
No, it's in the back of the room.
It's back. Come on.
What's that?
It's heavy.
I have to get up and move
heavy.
The partition out of the way and then
we don't
pick
want
it
that.
Up and bring it.
No, we don't want
I
that.
I don't, you know, but there are people out there going, yeah, show it. Nope. It's
Wait,
not that big a deal.
I got it.
What?
Put it back in the box
yes.
and then do an unboxing video.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You become
you know
an influencer.
What? You know what? That is really not a good idea.
Oh.
No, I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like doing that.
I don't want to do that.
By the way.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not on the air.
You can't make me do that.
It's fine. Everything's just fine.
It's fine.
Everything.
You made a great point.
You know
if Carla says you're leaving in 10 days, it doesn't make sense for 10 days.
Yeah. But would it make
We're
sense
for... We're
not
leaving in 10 days.
Hold on. Let me ask this. Would it make sense for 17 days?
Thank you, Rob.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's more than 2 weeks.
Exactly, which is not next week.
My God.
Let me tell you,
calendars.
When I opened this new piece of equipment, I said, okay, this is pretty self-explanatory,
yes,
and I'm sure you guys felt the same way, but I'm sure you ran into a few things where you could help me through that aspect.
We can.
You are telling me
especially
that I get
settings.
To eliminate, I get, stop it. I am telling you that you eliminate certain pieces of equipment. like a big clunky audio board.
Yes, yeah.
And big clunky audio processor.
No more clunk.
So it's just basically our little zippy thing and our little board.
But the clunk with the junk, because we're going modern.
Are you sincere about anything at all, ever?
I'm excited to have you with this new stuff. You're going to love it.
You're lying. You lie all the time.
You manufacture the fact that you think I'm lying when, in fact, that's a falsehood.
I think you are so complex and your true feelings are so far from the surface.
The headphone amp, because you're going to have guests on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have a smaller headphone amp I'm going to send you.
So I'm not really ready to go then.
Well, you're ready to. If we're going to talk about efficiency, and that's really what you want, Mike. You would not want to do that here. Go upstairs to a different setup in Maine, do it again, and then come back from Florida and do it again.
All right. That's what I'll do. So we're not working today. Do you have a meeting today or something?
No,
like
we can.
Do you have a president you have to interview or something like that?
I got nothing.
Like
I got nothing. All right. Till noon.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just checking. I thought
Calendar's blocked off
There's
for you,
no
Mike.
Skin off my butt.
The calendar is blocked off for you.
What we have works great.
Yes.
But I'm just going to put it all back in the box and then ship it up to Maine.
And then make a video in Maine.
Why did we ship it down? Well, of course, it was a month ago.
Yes.
That we sent it
Remember,
down.
I was going to fly down. And you're like, I don't see your face.
And a month ago, when Carla said, we're going to Maine in 2 weeks.
So confusing. It is so very. But I'll tell you what it is. We do have to break.
Yes.
We do. Down here, it's now, you know what? The grass is always greener with my life as far as. They've all left, and I was saying, hey, I'm so happy they've all left. No, it's boring down here.
And they're shutting everything.
And everything's being shut down. So my life has changed down here, too.
Aww.
Oh, poor me. life's fine. Life's fine except for this chest cold.
You sound
like at the end of the chest cold. And you know how when it comes up from the lungs and now it comes into the throat?
Mike, I've always wanted to do a radio show with Andy Devine. You sound great.
It's great. How you doing?
We'll take a break. When we come back, how dark is your personality?
Oh,
nice.
I will say unequivocally, I do not work with people with dark personalities. But it'll be interesting to share the traits of a person with a truly dark personality.
Can't wait.
And I am a yes to a couple of the answers.
Oh, I look forward to this. So, and you know what? Yeah, we should also include we need to include the people in the control room, too.
Everybody can play. Everybody can play. It was on Facebook. I appreciate people putting stuff up like that. Makes me think. Especially during this time of year when material is like, help! Anyway, we'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Oh, it's your boy Paulie again. Now, I heard some of you P1s don't have Alexa, but you do have Google Home. Well, guess what? The Mike O'Meara Show is also on Google Home. Check it out.
Hey, Carl listens to it every day.
Play the Mike O'Meara Show podcast.
Right, Paulie.
Okay, resuming podcasts. The Mike O'Meara Show, number 2208, full course meal.
Mike O'Meara, radio entertainment. Today's episode of the Mike O'Meara Show is brought to you by our...
That's unfriggin' believable, eh? Take it back, Mike.
Paulie. I love you, and keep putting up those food videos, because you take every holiday and make it into something spectacular. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Bonus Packages. Let's take a moment to discuss your health, shall we?
Please.
Ready for that?
Please.
Thank you.
Take two.
It is said, if you don't care for yourself, why should anyone else? So be kind to yourself. Treat yourself to the TMOS Bonus Show. You see... Most other podcasts are full of salt, sugar, artificial flavorings, weird goo, and cancer-causing colorant. I've heard some of them have low-grade radiation.
A lot of them do. Marin does.
Just saying that because I've been watching Chernobyl. Not the TMOS Bonus Show. Subscribe and you'll get a bonus uncensored sixth episode of TMOS every week that is 100% organic, non-GMO, vegan, rich in protein, high in fiber, and recommended by 4 out of 5 dentists to their patients that consume podcasts. Listen for only 1 week and your stools will be gigantic with no more odor than a hot biscuit. I guarantee it.
Gross.
Guaranteed.
Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Just go to MikeO'MearaShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. The bonus show. It may have come in contact with peanuts, tree nuts, soy milk, eggs, wheat, shellfish, or eggs, but it's goddamn funny. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was a good one, Rob.
Thank you. Non-GMO.
All right. The article is entitled, that I saw, New Theory of Dark Personality reveals the 9 traits of evil people in your life.
Oh, so not just dark, but evil.
Evil. That is a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Do evil people exist? Well, the answer to this may depend on your religious background and what you understand evil to be.
Mm.
Scientists have figured out that people have a dark core to their personality. What's more, a general dark factor, thank you, of personality defector exists that can tell the extent of a person's dark traits, which cause questionable ethical, moral, and social behavior. What is the defector? The research team from Germany and Denmark,
they would know,
define the defectors as the basic tendency to maximize one's own utility at the expense of others, accompanied by beliefs that serve as justification for one's malevolent behavior. Malevolent is a great word.
It means actually
really, really
programmed to do bad. You want to do bad.
Malevolent?
Malevolent. It's the opposite malevolent of benevolent.
Oh, then they, malevolent.
They go through their process and how they figured things out, which I'm not going to trouble malevolent you with okay now. But they came up with the 9 traits of malevolence.
9.
That would These be a great the, name for a Netflix special.
The 9 traits of malevolence.
Yes.
These are the 9 traits comprising the defector, along with the definitions used by the scientists. Now, I think I'm going to go 1 to 9 because it seems to make sense.
Okay.
Right? Now, 1 is something we all have, but, well, no, not necessarily the way they put it. We have ego. We don't necessarily all have egoism to the extent that they talk about in this study. But let me give it to you and then we'll discuss.
All right.
Ego.
1 is egoism. The excessive concern with one's own pleasure or advantage at the expense of community well-being. I don't think I have that. That may be like robbing a bank or doing something evil that would damage people just to make yourself feel better.
The thing that that is the telling part of that statement is at the expense of the community's well-being. I think we've all done stuff to seek pleasure, and we've right all been selfish in different ways, but never at the expense of the community.
That sounds like criminal activity.
Yeah, that's
me.
So. Yeah, I think I'm
of a community's well-being.
It can, but it also it's at the root selfishness.
But selfishness is a softer word than this, Oscar.
Yeah.
Let me tell you again.
Okay. At the expense
the
of the community.
The excessive concern with one's own pleasure or advantage at the expense of community well-being. Now, I don't know what they're using as community.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to use community?
Okay, let's say like a flasher. A flasher clearly cares more about his own kink than the community
than the
that
good
he's
of
hurting
the kids at the
yeah
playground.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's how
or
I
the
interpret
lady at the
it
bus stop
as something like
yeah
a crime, like she'll something that would.
All right,
yeah,
so
she'll be fine, Pony. You creep.
You're a
number
jerk.
Two. Number two. We all have ego, and we've all sacrificed others within our circle for
yeah
our
yeah
own ego.
Yeah, but usually that's a business decision.
But that's don't make me do that today.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that.
You're
to
listening
me today
to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike O'Mara Show.
2 is Machiavellianism.
Oh yes,
all these big words.
Machiavellianism.
That's right.
Machiavellianism. That
hurts
I know
mouth
how to pronounce this
hurts
word.
Hurts my mouth.
Machiavellianism.
Machiavellianism.
Machiavellian. It's Machiavellian behavior.
Yeah, based on
manipulativeness, callous effect, and a strategic calculating orientation. That means people that play each other off of other people on a regular basis.
Oh, I got somebody bed right in our inner circle, in the inner cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a coincidence, or is it,
mm-hmm,
that his name is Mac?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Machiavelli.
Mac.
Not Orange Mac.
Orange Mac will say, hey, Micro Center is having a sale this week. And I'm like,
yeah,
hey, man, can I get a discount? Then he'll say,
right,
my boss won't let you get a discount.
I don't know if there's going to be a discount
and
for
then
you.
And then he'll call me. He's like, hey, he'll string me along for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, what about that discount? And he'll be like, my boss says no. So he's pinning me against his boss.
And that vindictive Machiavellian behavior is also exemplified by the end justifies the means.
Yes.
That's the whole thing of Machiavelli. So thinking that you can step on people all the way to get to that discount, that's classic Machiavelli.
Somehow I just think putting Mac on that is a little silly.
Where does he weigh in on the superego stuff?
Manipulativeness, callous effect, and a strategic calculating orientation.
We all know people in radio that are like this.
Not me.
Me neither.
Never met one.
Number three, moral disengagement. A generalized cognitive orientation to the world that differentiates individuals' thinking in a way that powerfully affects unethical behavior.
What's it again?
Read it again, one more time.
All right. Moral disengagement. A generalized cognitive orientation to the world that differentiates individuals' thinking in a way that powerfully affects unethical behavior. Which means, really, they don't... I've known people like this.
Cult leaders.
That don't,
Jim
that,
Jones.
No. It's people that put the morality of a decision aside to behave badly, unethically.
Mm.
Because that's how...
They justify the immoral behavior.
Or they just do it.
Yes.
They just do it, and in their own mind, that's the way they feel. Never known anybody.
I will say this. Maybe you have, and maybe you haven't. Maybe I haven't. No one in this circle is like that.
Oh, God.
Now, we all have this. Narcissism.
Oh, of course.
Ego reinforcement is the all-consuming motive. No, but see, it's not... Then narcissism is a heavier word than I want to give, because it's not our all-consuming motive. It can't be.
But we can all give that half a check mark, I think.
We have ego.
The ego.
We have big
egos.
Yeah. Okay, but what drives...
But if they put narcissism like that, that means it's all-consuming. That means yourself is the all-consuming, and it's not.
What do you call this?
A stammer.
I'm not going to name names. But there is someone within our group that if somebody has a killer line and is murdering and getting a lot of attention, they can't help but pile on and actually have the last word and hopefully have a better line.
Even at the sacrifice of the show. That is almost like an OCD thing, but it's not necessarily narcissism.
Okay.
I would, whoever this is you're discussing, I would advise this person seek help, because that's not healthy.
That was funny. Number five. That is my favorite part of the list right there.
Mike, before we jump with number five, to stay on time, can we break here?
Would are we late? Okay? Oh, my God, we're late.
We
All
are.
Right. We'll come back and finish this when we come back. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
What about his book? God, I really would have rather spent the half hour talking about me. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Big Thinking Show. This is the big thing.
It is.
Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob and Joe here. Joe, big year for you. You are getting married.
That's right. Love of my life.
You need some advice?
I may, but from you?
Look, hear me out. All you got to do is never stop dating her. Love her, give her attention, never take her for granted. And remember, she's the best thing in your life, and always work hard for her.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm not doing all that.
Yeah, you're right. Just fake your death, start a new life. Rob and Joe Show, a new episode every single week, robandjoeshow.com.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Rob Oscar and the Breathe Show. I'm Mike O'Mara. Nice to see you. This portion of the program brought to you by Sleep Number. You heard me talk about how much I love my Sleep Number bed. Maybe you've considered a Sleep Number bed, but thought you couldn't afford one. But can you really afford another restless night's sleep? There's never been a better time to save on proven quality sleep now. During the Memorial Day sale, a Queen 360 smart bed. You know what it starts at? $9.99.
What?
That's pretty darn good, people. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number fixes that because they let you choose your firmness on each side. I've told you how much I love my Sleep Number bed, how this is the greatest product I think that I've ever put in my home. It's definitely the greatest piece of furniture, if you want to call a bed furniture.
It is.
Do you call a bed furniture?
It is. Sometimes you can get them as furniture, sure.
Sleep Number so highly ranked, been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number setting is I think it's now a 95 because I tweaked my back a couple weeks ago. Carla's is still a 65. Boring!
But how great is it that if you have some sort of little change in your lifestyle, you can change the firmness of your mattress?
Yeah, to help my back
feel better. That's fantastic.
Which is done.
Yes.
I looked backwards on my back problems when I got the Sleep Number bed. We love ours. Coming during the Memorial Day sale. and save $1,000 on a new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed for temperature balancing comfort at an exceptional value. Remember, you'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Find the one nearest you, and when you do, tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you, everybody. Welcome back to the show. All right, we're talking about the traits of a dark personality.
Yeah.
And maybe I didn't put that right. 9 traits of evil people in your life.
Okay.
Now, by the way, if you've got somebody who's hit on all 4 of the first ones I've talked about, you're cruising to getting some problems. And we're talking about what we've copped to.
Yeah.
All right. The number 5 is psychological entitlement, a stable and pervasive sense that one deserves more and is entitled to more than others. That's tough right there. And you've got that in certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that's kind of a piggybacking on other things, but
to their own detriment. And may I say that in broadcasting, you need a healthy dose of what about me?
True.
Yes. For self-promotion.
For self-promotion, because that's just the nature of the beast. But you also have to choose wisely when to play that card.
It goes away now that we no longer have a prize closet.
or a real general manager.
That's true.
Yes.
But you know what? I will say this, and I think, Mike, you might admit to this as well. That was a stronger trait of mine until I had children. Children really jumble up the way you think sometimes. And it's a different way to put others first.
Yeah. That's why I won't have them.
I'm a different man. Right. That's why you can't have them.
I don't want to lose my edge.
Oh, no. Don't listen to your radio partner. You have as many kids as you want. You'd be a good father. Number 6 is psychopathy. Deficits in affect, callousness, and self-control. So psychopathy means you do things like at the spur of the moment without a lot of thought, not caring about other people.
Okay.
This is all, evil things that are going on here. We're moving right down to...
I don't see any of us as very spur-of-the-moment people. Maybe Oscar a little more because of his proximity to the city and his ute.
To the ute. Well, to the utes.
But you and I never do anything like that, I don't think. Do we?
Now, I will take you down to number 7, which I have done.
All right.
On this show.
Murder!
And I'm not proud of it because it's really a horrible word. It's a horrible word. No, I really haven't. Not with you two around.
What is it?
Sadism.
Oh,
whoa.
A person who humiliates others, shows a long-standing pattern of cruel or demeaning behavior to others, or intentionally inflicts physical, sexual, hold on a second.
What?
Or psychological pain or suffering on others in order to assert power and dominance, or for the for pleasure and enjoyment. I can say unequivocally I've never done it for pleasure or enjoyment. Mm. But
I don't know.
Done it
read
in a
my novel.
Way I have humiliated people.
Read my novel, 50 Shades of O'Mara.
Does that mean that means yelling at people in
publicly?
Yes, yeah. But you don't get
when
off
you do
on
it publicly.
And,
I don't. I hate it.
Belittling.
I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. You've done it to me too, Oscar. So
no, I'm not.
We've all done our share of yelling.
Yes.
I had a conversation just yesterday. As a younger man.
Yes.
I was not as an effective leader as I thought I was because I grew up in a toxic world of broadcasting where that was rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was rewarded for me, and it shaped the way I behave, and I'm not proud of that.
You learn and evolve.
I try, but pony. Anyway,
but Mike,
let's
in
see,
every day, in
you.
Every way,
you just did it.
You're getting better and better.
I just did it right there, even in the discussion of it, I did it.
Yeah, but the thing is that did that sexually satisfy you?
Yeah, how you feeling below the trousers?
It did me.
And all right, we got the last 2 Funny. Here.
Funny.
Yeah.
I hate when I do a show. You're supposed to laugh, and I can't laugh.
Mr. Douglas.
Number 8, self-interest. Self-explanatory right there. The pursuit of gains in socially valued domains, including material goods, social status, recognition, academic or occupational achievement, and happiness. Well, self-interest in a positive way can be good for what you do, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah.
Again, in moderation, and as Oscar says, choose your battles.
Well,
but you combine that with everything else, and it's difficult. And spitefulness. A preference that would harm another, but would also entail harm to oneself. This harm could be social, financial, physical, or an inconvenience.
Right. So in a way, harming yourself because of the benefit of harming someone you hate?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I do know if you'd like to test yourself, we've got quick, and we'll blast through these super
Please.
Quick.
Okay.
This is, you might be
a redneck.
A dark person.
A redneck.
You might be a redneck, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm reading. Far away with bad glasses. Here's the dark core scale.
Okay.
Is it hard to get ahead without cutting corners here and there?
Yes or no? No, it's not. It's not.
I like to use clever manipulation to get my way.
No.
Sometimes.
No.
Yes. I'll say yes.
No, Rob. No. Rob does. Rob does.
Is it very self-aware for you to admit that?
Nothing I love more than clever.
Yeah. I do too, though. So I'm right there with Rob.
Yeah.
People, and you do too.
No.
You did. I just realized that.
I choose the harder route all the time.
Yes, but you
like
answering.
The struggle, but you manipulate.
By answering
I manipulate
no
by
to
working
that,
harder? By, oh, I'm sure.
Oscar, by answering no to that question was a clever manipulation itself.
Thank you.
My body of work speaks for itself.
And your body with a body like that.
All right, here we go. Let's answer honestly, please.
Yes.
People who get mistreated have usually done something to bring it on themselves.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Some people have bad luck and they put themselves in a bad circumstance. That doesn't mean it was their fault.
It's his fault that he was surfing the internet in the parking lot instead of going to college.
Okay, that is, yes, of course.
That's the answer, though. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah,
you know?
But that is not an absolute. You're talking about absolutes.
I don't know. Number four, I know that I am special because everyone keeps telling me so.
No one tells me that.
All right. We were
not in this century.
I honestly feel
My mom said,
I'm
are you
just
still working at that podcast place?
You do something with computers, right?
You should know, Mom. Number five. Shut up. I got to finish this.
All right.
Don't yell and embarrass others.
Ah! Oh, he's so hot right now.
Number five. I honestly feel I am just more deserving than others. No.
No.
Yes.
He's a peculiar one, isn't he?
I can't figure him out. Number six. I'll say anything to get what I want. No.
No, 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 no.
Here's a weird one. This one is like put somebody in prison. All right. Number seven, hurting people would be exciting. No.
No, 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 no.
I will say no, and also ask Pony not to answer
Unless
that one.
Unless it's ouch, ouch, pull my hair.
Ask Pony not to answer that one.
Yes, sir.
You're hurting me.
I know.
Yes, Matthew Bloom declines respectfully.
Number eight, I try to make sure others know about my successes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. We all have to self-promote.
Should I ever have
number
one?
Number nine, it is sometimes worth a little worth a little suffering on my part to see others receive the punishment they deserve.
Okay, that's now, the spiteful one. That's the one that's spiteful.
I don't have that either.
No.
No, no. There we go. We're not dark.
No.
We have dark.
You can't carry that with you. You carry that with you. It'll eat you from the inside out.
Yeah, brother.
So enjoy social media this weekend coming up where you can read everybody saying.
Anybody realize Mike was more about that than anybody else on the
Make sure, Mike, that you give your social security number at the end of that so someone can hack your identity.
That's right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Maiden name is capital S.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills, news you may not need on the Mike O'Meara Show. Spider-Murphy
played his inner saxophone. Comedy. It's a universal language, and with the TMOS app, you can share the hilarity throughout this big blue marble we call planet Earth. Brush up on your language skills today, such as Swedish.
Mama puts the pies out to cool.
German.
Sign the papers, old man.
Russian.
I will splash the pot whenever the F I please.
Even from the heartland of America.
I don't know when she's coming back. I think they come back Thursday.
Share your love of laughter and the More Network, no matter where you may roam. All your favorite shows in one place. Plus, you can now connect to the TMOS Yak Shack right from the app. The TMOS app, recommended by 4 out of 5 Sherpas to be the funniest app in the world.
Thank you, Jim Amato. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Do you know about the phenomenon of FOMO?
FOMO!
FOMO.
FOMO.
Yes.
FOMO.
He's moving to Florida.
FOMO.
Different guy.
The fear of missing out.
For example, wouldn't you hate to miss out on all the fun we're going to have at the TMOS Live 10th Anniversary Party? Last year was amazing. This year is going to be even better because we've added a second show. The entire TMOS gang will return to the stage of the Council Chambers Theater Saturday, November 16th, a second TMOS Live, an entirely different show. So if you missed out on the first sold-out show, now is your chance. If you want to see both shows even better, the TMOS 10th Anniversary Party is so big, we need two nights to do it.
Do it!
Do it.
Do it! Do it! The fun comes down, goes down, rather, at the Zappos Corporate Headquarters.
Hey, now.
In downtown Las Vegas.
Welcome to Raffles 2.
Tickets are on sale now at MikeOMaraShow.com because twice as nice, the TMOS 10th Anniversary Party brought to you by Zappos. I heard a rumor that if we didn't sell out the second show, we wouldn't do a second show.
Really?
That is, and let me look at the camera right now and say, that is completely untrue. Thank you very much.
You know what that would do, Mike? That would be hurting yourself to hurt others.
Yes.
There you go. That's true. Yeah, you may have heard that rumor. Not going to happen.
Good.
News.
Boo.
Da-da-da. We're selling out. Anyway, Hollywood legend Doris Day died yesterday after a long battle with life. She was 97, lived a long, 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 long life. Actually, she died of pneumonia, but her...
Is that an actuality of Doris Day?
But her people say she was in, quote, excellent physical health for her age until she came down with it. In the late 50s and early 60s, Doris was one of America's biggest box office attractions. She was probably best known for her movies with Rock Hudson, like Pillow Talk, which earned her an Oscar nomination. They also starred together in A Lover Come Back, Send Me No Flowers. Doris was also known for the song Que Sera Sera that Rob's playing you right now. She first performed it in the Alfred Hitchcock movie The Man Who Knew Too Much in 1956. She also had a sitcom called The Doris Day Show, which I remember as a little kid. That was on CBS from 68 to 73. And she later became an animal activist and had been mostly out of... I'll get to you, Rob. I will get to you.
Okay.
I know it's somebody who died. I know you want to say something. She also became an animal activist, and she's been mostly out of the public eye for many, many years.
To make her a little more current, about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a movie called Down with Love that had Renee Zellweger. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much an homage to that style of movie. So if you saw that movie with Renee Zellweger, you saw sort of a format that Doris Day invented. So it's very, the movies are very good. Tony Randall's always funny in those movies.
I liked her and her husband in Animal House when they were in the band they went to go see.
It's not the right person, but thank you.
Very, very close.
Okay. I know you've honored the memory of Doris.
Yeah, thank you.
Felicity Huffman, bringing it back to current times, pleaded guilty yesterday for her part in the college admissions scandal, and prosecutors recommended she get 4 to 10 months. She could also be hit with a $20,000 fine. She will be sentenced on September 13th. Huffman arrived in court with her brother. There was no sign of her husband, William H. Macy, who was never charged. What do you think of that?
I think he's getting out while the getting's good.
It's shameless.
I mean, yay, that was a good one.
He doesn't want to spend any time in the cooler.
Do you think there, I mean, wouldn't you think the husband would be there to for her to, I mean, she's going to
the
jail.
Only way he would be there to support her is if he perhaps had some reason to not be totally 100% pissed at her and wanting out of the marriage.
Also, maybe he's the type of dad that's like, look, I bear the financial brunt of this. You deal with this. And then she made her own mess. You fix it.
What if he showed up in court, though, but dressed like he looks in Shameless?
Just came from the set, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Every now and then you write these stories in the morning and then you get more than you can bag them for. It was nice. Huffman cried as she explained to the judge that her daughter knew nothing about the scam. She also revealed that her daughter has learning disabilities. She has been seeing a neuropsychologist since she was 8 and has been receiving extra time on exams since she was 11. And by the way, on the scale of this, when you talk about the Laura Loughlin, is that who it is?
Loughlin.
And Felicity Huffman. I mean, Felicity Huffman got somebody to cheat on an SAT test.
Yeah.
And Lori Loughlin faked her daughter being an elite athlete to get a scholarship. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, there is degree.
I think the cheating is worse.
I think the cheating is what? No, because she admitted to it.
Oh.
And Lori Loughlin has not.
Okay. So, you know, I think that you could say cheating is cheating.
Yeah.
And so you think faking the SAT thing or getting somebody to help with the answers on the SAT or actually taking the test.
Yes.
Yeah, so is worse than $300,000 bribing an official to tell your school that you are on a crew team when you're not or in some sport that you're
again,
not.
If you look at the end game, they're both equally heinous.
Yeah, they
are. I mean, they're both. Yeah, they're both saying the same thing.
They're both wrong. They're both.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. Well, that's why I'm a dark personality.
Yeah.
Anyway, Halle Berry's kids are 11 and 5, and she had them both after 40. It's something that wasn't always encouraged, but it's getting more and more common. And Halle definitely recommends it. She says, "Quote: You're so much more ready to be a parent after 40 than when you're 20. You know yourself better. You've done a lot of things for yourself. Selfishly, when you wait later in life, you can really put your kids forward." I think in a more meaningful way. And I can say unequivocally that I have children that I had younger in life and I have children that I have had later in life. And I'm very blessed to have a relationship with all of them. But I do have regrets in my life for, you know, not being with my daughters when I split up with my ex-wife. And, you know, that's why weekends that I had in Virginia watching my daughter graduate, laughing with everybody at a dinner table on a Friday night was special. And it will always be special.
Aww.
And
mm-hmm.
Catherine and Elizabeth are loved more than they'll ever know. And
so sweet.
You know,
like that.
It's great. Now the goal, get them all under the same roof. That's when daddy floats on a little bed of air. Mm-hmm. That's when I'm just like that. That's when you could walk him and say, hey, dark personality, you want to embarrass anybody? Nope. Just floating around. That's it. According to an expert with the American Council on Exercise, here are the three most effective exercises that don't require any equipment. I've seen Carla do these. Burpees. You start in a standing position, drop down and do a push-up, then pop back up. You think it's nothing, it crushes.
It destroys
you. If you do enough of them.
Yeah.
You jump with your hands above your head and repeat. It works your chest, arms, shoulders, core, hips, legs, and your butt. Number two, I've never done these, mountain climbers. You start in a plank position like you're about to do a push-up, then you bring one knee to your chest, alternate legs, and basically act like you're running in place. I couldn't do that now with my infirmed hips. But it's great cardio. Have you ever done mountain climbers, Oscar?
I dated a girl in college that I had to work those muscles for. She was a little zoftic, I think the word you...
Ah, yes, Rubenesque. Right?
Yeah, Rubenesque.
This, when Rob's doing his mountain climbers at home, he plays this music from Price is Right.
And I get as closest to my current weight as I can without over.
and number three, heard of these, Turkish get-ups.
Isn't that where you press your nipple against a glass window?
This one, Billy.
This is the most unfit show in America.
Turkish get-ups are harder. You need to practice.
Yeah.
Basically, you start on your back with one hand pointed at the ceiling. Then, without letting it drop, you roll onto your side, plant one foot on the ground, and rise to your feet.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I do when I fall.
But in reverse.
Once you get good, you can do it with a weight in one hand, but you don't need one. There you go. Those are the three best exercises.
Billy.
You can rip your rotator cuff.
Billy.
Everyone thought there was another editing error on Game of Thrones this week, but they were wrong. As fans know, the character Jamie Lannister lost his hand in season 3, and he's been wearing a gold fake hand ever since. Fake hands funny.
Yes, it is.
In TV shows like Moonstruck and movies. I shouldn't have said that.
That's right, Mom. Yeah.
Yesterday, an image from Sunday's episode started circulating of Jamie with his real hand back. It was a coffee cup gate all over again, except it wasn't. The image never appeared in the episode. It was a promotional photo that was taken way back when the episode was filmed before the CGI was added. It was up briefly. He's coming to Vegas, by the way.
Hey, that's great.
It was up briefly on HBO's website, and then someone grabbed it before they could take it down. So there you have that.
Can't have everything right.
And now a little something, something from your state, boys. Very exciting here.
Ooh, yay. D.C.?
D.C. and Virginia.
Okay.
Virginia more specifically. There is a 48-year-old guy named Kenneth Hicks. He's from Emporia, Virginia. And he clocks in at a stunning 900 pounds.
Billy.
Because of his size, he can't move or even wear clothes. He just lives in his mobile home and allegedly spent his time helping out with a cocaine ring. So he was doing court yesterday, and to make it happen, the judge had a team of people from the FBI, U.S. Marshals, paramedics, firefighters, and cops cut through the walls of his house to transport him to the courthouse. The plan was for him to come to the courthouse in an ambulance to face his charges for conspiracy to distribute the possession of more than a pound of cocaine, and he testified from the loading dock. But the hearing was delayed because after he was removed from his house, he had some medical issues and needed to go to the hospital.
Hospital.
It's been rescheduled for next Tuesday. No word where he hid his cocaine, but I'm not going in there. That's for sure. Thank you very much. And no word on his condition, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a break. And sorry about the mailbag. We didn't get to that because of Pete Holmes this week.
We'll do it another time.
We'll do it another time. Maybe move everything forward. Maybe do the mailbag tomorrow. Maybe do the Yak Shack on Thursday. I don't know yet. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here.
Cake and cookies.
Hey!
Oh, that's nice.
This is Katie from the Cake and Cookies Show, and I'm all worked up. I may still be drunk. Tune in to hear about a vehicular disaster. That's hard to say when you might still be drunk.
Indeed.
Blessed nuptials and a lost evening.
And I've got a few things to say about socks.
I like it.
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Quip. Sorry.
That's all right. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to talk about Quip, Oscar.
Quippa.
It's time for spring cleaning, and Quip's got an easy way to start with better brushing habits for the whole family. Just told Michael today he's getting his new Quip toothbrush.
It's on the way.
It's a new kid's Quip. It's the same as the original Quip, just tweaked for size-down mouths. No nonsense, no childish gimmicks, just a great electric toothbrush so your kids can brush like a grown-up. And Quip still has a built-in timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides. Because up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes, and we don't clean effectively. Plus, brush heads are automatically delivered every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. I use Quip because it guarantees that I am brushing my teeth the right way every day. That's why I love Quip and why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/TMOS right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/TMOS. Before I choke to death, let's open up the audio ball with Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Robbie.
Oscar, this is unprecedented. But based on reaction on the show, in Podcast Village, on the streets of this city,
yes,
and in my own home, today's Audio Vault starts with a rerun of Cardi B endorsing Uggs.
None of you bitches, none of you bitches got these exclusive Swiss and Sweet Uggs. What's poppin'?
I love that. I absolutely never get tired of
it. Here's where I know it jumped to the next level is Robert, by the way, congratulations to my son Robert, who is now a licensed driver in the state of Virginia.
Yay, Robert.
And to celebrate, he drove me and Julia to my mom's house for pizza and a visit last night. And he said, Dad, play Shay Show. That's what he calls my mom. Play Shay Show, the Cardi B song. I said, Robert, she says bitches in it. I don't want to play it for my mom. She's going to love it. And I played it for my mom.
Oh,
she,
I bet your mom.
My
bet
mom
loved it.
Loved it. She says,
absolutely.
It sounds like a Sondheim piece.
Can I just say another thing about your son? I can still not get over that he, from the last time I saw him in person, he sprouted past you, and he is now officially taller than you.
And he is just a good-looking kid and polite, and we have very high hopes. And I know I always tease him. I say he's strong, but he's really rallied in school lately, and I'm very proud of
good
him.
Good for him.
Good boy.
He looks good, and I liked his friend, too.
Aiden.
What's his friend's name?
Aiden O'Malley.
Really, both nice kids. I'm glad they had a good time at Japan. But I turned around. Here's Robert, and I didn't. I mean, I had to do a beat. I had to do a little take. I'm like, oh, my God. Jesus, you're taller than your father now.
Screams teen pregnancy.
Hey, thank you.
He's a good-looking young man.
I'm not going to change the subject.
None of you bitches
yes.
Got these exclusive
Swisher Sweet Uggs. Thank you. Okay. You know, it's been said, but and there's been examples of it, of talent, you know, it comes through the genes. And, you know, people are, you know, people that have talented children are talented people themselves. Jennifer Lopez was backstage waiting to go on stage and talked her child, Emmy. Emmy is 11, into singing a little bit of Alicia Keys just with a piano accompaniment. This is an 11-year-old, not rehearsed, just messing around backstage.
God, I love kids.
And what's so great is J-Lo had to talk her into doing it. She didn't want to do it.
Oh, this is...
Love
this
it.
Is Jennifer and Mark Anthony's son.
Yeah, there's a little bit of talent in those veins.
Is it son or daughter?
I mean, daughter. Daughter.
Wow.
I mean, think about those genes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's just exciting. Wow. I love that.
I wish I could
But it doesn't explain why my son likes math.
That's good, though.
Because he loves music.
Math and music walk hand in hand.
So maybe the math thing.
Luca is a math nerd because he started with the piano.
Oh, you know what?
Piano is so mathematical. It really is.
He doesn't miss a day either with his mom, and that's his mom.
I mean, piano is so important.
None of you bitches. None of you bitches. Got these exclusives.
Swisher Sweet Uggs. Okay. Every now and then, a celebrity that I'm not overly impressed with does something that causes me to cock my head a little bit like a dog. On Colbert last Friday night, Keanu Reeves was on, being Keanu Reeves,
right.
And he said something so amazingly sweet and not only caught me off guard, it really sort of startled the audience too.
What do you think happens when we die, Keanu Reeves?
See, right there, the audience is waiting for some stupid Bill and Ted answer, right?
Yeah, right.
What do you think happens when we die, Keanu Reeves?
I know that the ones who love us will miss us.
I just say good for him.
Well, that is kind of a Bill and Ted answer.
But it was so sweetly delivered, and I think it was genuine, and it's also not...
Well, I mean, I've always said my hope, not necessarily my belief, but my hope would be that on some level of consciousness, there would be a reconnection with people that have gone before me that I've loved.
I love
that. That would be, to me, a truly, or an ability... To just say, you know, some sort of consciousness is there.
But that's the thing, is that he takes it the other direction. He's not thinking of it as himself. He's thinking of it as the people around him.
He's gone and people loved, and that keeps you alive, which is the way it is.
I think but I think it's nice that the audience was all ready to make fun of him, and they actually got a genuine, aw.
That's one. And it's kind of full circle, because that's why today's episode should be called The Meaning of Life.
Exactly. And we close with this. Bill Nye, the science guy, who is always a cheerful.
Oh, God, I wish we could play. Can we make sure... I know you're going to play this edited, but will you play it on the...
bonus?
We will play it on the bonus, maybe multiple times, because I didn't post it today because I just didn't... Everybody's posting it for me, so I don't need to post it.
I have not heard this.
Okay, so he is known as a science teacher that can dumb down science for children, keep it polite, keep it nice.
Very vanilla, very vanilla. White bread, absolutely.
So on the John Oliver Show, he comes on to discuss climate change. Here's Bill Nye, the science guy.
By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, mother...
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Yes. You know what? I will post it today.
I'm going to post it.
It's that funny. That's it. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us. Listen, we have added a second show. Saturday night, and I'm not going to get freaked out right away, but slowly but surely, I want to make sure we sell this show out sooner than later. Okay? This adds to my stress level. You're selling, by the way, thank you for selling out the Friday show, too. Oscar always wants me to emphasize that I'm happy with what we have.
Mike, think of Pete Holmes' book, Calm Down.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
It's just an episode.
It's just an episode, baby.
All right, I want the episode to end with us selling out our second show, like, in a couple of weeks.
It's a good
That's
compromise.
Right. Yeah. No, come on. It's not like I wouldn't do a show if we didn't sell it out. Anyway, none of you bitches. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com to get tickets for the second show as well. Love to see you there. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Lunger saying thank you for your continued amazing support of the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody, and listen up, boys. Something for you at the end. Bye-bye.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Bring me the big knife. I'm gonna cut my throat.
Oh, we're done for. We're done for. We're done diddly done for. We're done diddly doodly done diddly doodly done diddly doodly done diddly doodly.
Snap out of it!
Goodbye, duties.